Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Well, this episode started a little bit off. How can I pun this a little better? This episode started with the... I walked into a big fart in the room, and it smells like a big fart right now. And apparently, Mark has a really good David Spade, so let's hear it.
Well, we were just talking, and it came up. When I first got to L.A. in the late 90s, I needed to do things to get my SAG card, so I grabbed extra jobs. So I was a featured extra on an episode of Just Shoot Me. You can't go look for it because I was completely edited out of the whole episode, but that's a whole other story.
Aw, I'm sorry.
So I was. It's the episode with French Stewart, and the woman Maya on the show is dating French Stewart, and French Stewart's a puppeteer. And all of the problems he has with their relationship, he takes out in his puppets. It's a funny premise. Okay. He's like, no, everything's fine. But then his puppets are like, why are you like that all the time? You know, like, it's funny. Anyway, I was the puppeteer stage manager, and I had to go and rip Maya down from the set, this puppeteer set, when she was attacking and strangling one of the puppets at the culmination of the episode. Anyway, so I'm on the set, hanging out all week, having a good time, and just gorging on free craft services. You know, it's all this delicious free food, just going nuts. And I had really bad gas, and it was really terrible. So I was standing off to the side, and there was a guy there that seemed to know Spade really well, David Spade, and he was wearing he was total Hollywood, slick back hair, sunglasses indoors, black long sleeve shirt, black pants, total Hollywood agent. Mm-hmm. And he'd gotten there, and I'd seen him because he hugged Spade and everything. So he's sitting in a folding chair next to me, and I'm standing next to him. So he is right at butt level. So I drop a bomb. Like,
was it loud?
You can't even imagine. It was not loud.
But it was silent but deadly.
Yeah, it was like I had tears in my eyes and my hair was straightening. Like, it was really bad. And David Spade starts coming over to this guy because finished a scene. So this guy jumps up out of his chair, turns Spade around and walks him in the other direction. And I thought, that is some quality representation right there. Oh. He just totally dodged the fog.
What a good agent.
Did they know it was you? I mean, like, was there anyone else around that you could have possibly... Because I'm a blamer. No. I blame it on everyone else around me.
I think he probably said stay away from that guy. He really... Something died in him.
Have you told David the story since I'm sure you've met him
many times
now?
No, I've mentioned it when he's been in. I've mentioned it to Ryan and to the producers, but we never really get around to it. But I'd like to tell him that story someday. But then at the end of the week, the producer, Steve Levitan, who then created Modern Family, he came to watch the run-through. And he said, yeah, I don't like when that guy goes up to them and pulls her off the stage, which was me. And that was it. And then I was edited out. There was no sign of me in the episode.
Aw, I'm sorry.
And that was the end of your Hollywood dreams.
I got my SAG card.
But I do have a question. Why were you wanting to be an actor?
Yes. I wanted to be on television. I wanted to be a host. And I couldn't figure out any kind of path to do that. So I was just auditioning for anything that would have me. But yeah, I wanted my SAG card so I could start being on TV in whatever capacity I ended up being on TV. And my friend who already had lived here prior that we were living with, he set me and my roommates up with these extra gigs so we could get our SAG cards. Because that's a big hurdle when you get to LA, is getting that union card.
So then, yeah, no, for sure. How did you, I'm sorry, today's guest is Mark.
I love Mark.
But how, what was the switch to be behind camera then? Because obviously you've been...
That's a longer story, but I'll just tell you, it was just, you know, failure breeds is the mother of necessity. So I did 3 years of just going out for everything I could go out for. And I booked a ton of stuff right away. I got 2 independent films. I got a TV show. I got the Just Shoot Me thing. I got a whole bunch of stuff right away. A commercial for Coors. And then every one of those things kind of fell apart. And then that was it. I never booked another thing in 3 years. And that's when I decided to start working at Disneyland because I had an opportunity. And I was like, I'll take whatever I can get now because I'm almost out of money. Yeah. Started working there. Mm-hmm.
So you're Cinderella for a year? Okay. Got it. Check.
And then after 3 years at Disneyland, I got back into radio. And that's how I headed on this path. But when I was trying to get a job, I sent out my old radio demo to every station in L.A., and Kiss FM called and said, we do not want you on the radio, but you seem to have experience, so can you come and be a producer and behind the scenes? And I said, yeah, whatever you need. I'm married now. I need something. So that's how this all came about.
And now you work for Ryan Seacrest, and
yeah,
like, that's a pretty good gig.
The biggest radio personality in the world.
Yeah. It's worked out pretty well. I'm up to over 11 years with Ryan. It's been great.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Yeah. And, you know, we're very honored to have you, Mark. I mean, you're a seasoned vet here. So we
taking
we
your
it.
Hard-earned time to be with us little people.
And I appreciate
This is
you.
A highlight of the week. I enjoy you guys a lot.
Well, I appreciate you being you and sharing your story, and especially your fart story, because I feel like we all have that really embarrassing story. I don't know. Maybe it's time to share mine since Mark put himself out there.
Oh, great.
You haven't shared it on here yet?
No, remember I said I would never share it?
I mean, by
I remember means. This. I remember trying to get you to do it. We were in studio in Burbank. Uh-huh.
Should
I mean, I'm just going to lay my microphone down and let you go.
Should I?
Yes. Is it,
but like, will people look at me differently?
That you're human and you're just like us.
I don't think it's a just like us kind of thing. I don't think everyone has this experience.
No, I don't. Just tell it. Easton's ready. Becky's ready. Riley's ready. Our wind down listeners are definitely ready.
Okay.
And go.
I've never in my life shared this besides to a few friends. Okay. So I was, oh my God. Okay. Most embarrassing story. Here we go. I was 20, oh gosh, how old was I? It was right before I booked One Tree Hill. And I had just moved into my boyfriend, Jonathan Scheck's house, and who's actually now a very good friend. His wife is, you know, our best friend. So I just moved into his house up in the Beechwood Canyon Hills. And, it was, you know, a very small bachelor pad. It was probably like a 600 square foot bachelor pad. And so I was like, I gotta like girly this place up a little bit. So I start going online looking for some shades. And I was like, oh, Bed Bath & Beyond has these awesome shades. I'm kind of giving you guys a long story, by the way, just to set it up. So I go to bed. I was like, hey, John, like I'm running out to Bed Bath & Beyond. Like I'll be back in a little bit. And mind you, let me just like set the scene. I'm wearing pretty much like a short nightgown. I mean, it was like one of those like little flower dresses from Forever 21, like really short, very thin, like nothing much to it. You know, I'm in like my early 20s. So going to Bed Bath & Beyond and I'm walking through the halls or the little aisles and I can't find these blinds, right? So I'm just like looking, looking, looking. Well, then while I'm going through the aisles, I turn a corner and there's this really, I didn't see it obviously, or I would have avoided it, but there was a very sharp, like something was sticking out in one of the aisles. So when I turned the corner kind of fast, I scraped and I even have a scar on my left arm. I've got a scar right there where it started to bleed. And so I was like, oh God, like that hurts. So I go up to this guy who was helping someone else. And I was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Two things, I'm bleeding, number one. And number two, like, I really need to find these shades. And they're freaking out. And the guy's like, I'm so sorry. Like, do you need, you know, help or assistance? I was like, no, I just need a Band-Aid and I need to find these shades. Like, I'm totally fine. So he's like, okay, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm totally fine. So we go into his office. I get a Band-Aid. I put it on. And I was like, these are the shades I'm looking for. Well, as we go down the aisles, I start looking down at my Band-Aid. And I'm like, huh, maybe, like, I do need medical assistance because it was bleeding through my Band-Aid. And I was like, maybe I need stitches. And then all of a sudden, I start to just feel really, really lightheaded. And I was like, actually, sir, yeah, like I need some help. I need some, boom, I pass out. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in the middle of Bed Bath & Beyond, passed out, okay?
The one there on Ventura.
In Studio City.
Like, yeah. Ventura and almost a cold water.
So I'm on the floor, right? I wake up and I just start screaming. I've never passed out before like this. I was like, oh my God, I just passed out. Like, I'm in the middle of it. I'm so sorry. And I was like, call my boyfriend. So, and they're like, ma'am, just calm down. The fire people are coming. Like, they'll be here any minute. Okay, so in walk in. Now we're in Los Angeles, right? So like the firemen there are like straight off of a...
Like calendar, right? Firemen.
Yeah.
All want to be actors and all probably volunteer firemen.
So they walk in and I'm like, hi, I feel great. Like, you know, just like, they're like, okay, ma'am, we're going to lift you up and we're going to sit you in this chair. Well, when they lifted me up, I had shit myself when I passed.
Oh my God.
And I pointed to it and was like, I pooped myself. And I just started screaming. And the look on these firefighters' faces.
What I wouldn't give for one of those guys to like hear this story and he remember it, and he was one of the firemen that was there. I would do anything to track down one of those men to interview them. How fantastic is that story?
That is fantastic.
So humiliating. So I pooped myself when I passed out. I mean, some might call it a near-death experience, because they say when you die, you poop. So apparently I died and came back to life.
You died in the embarrassment sense, I think. That was a death.
It was so embarrassing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one can top that. And that's why when she talked about when she fainted a week or two ago when you were doing your getting your lab tests.
I mean, I checked my butt to make sure.
That was like the first thing she did. And that was like my first question. I was like, did you poop? She's like, no, I checked myself. Like, that's exactly where our heads went immediately.
Because it was so traumatizing. Like,
do I have to bring you a change of clothes? Yes or no?
I don't want to hear it skid mark on your underwear.
No, that's our daughter.
But you're right, Mike. We need somebody, a Bed Bath & Beyond employee, a firefighter, somebody who was there that day. You've got to reach out to us if we could have you on the show.
Oh, my God. No.
It's like any time when we were living there and we would go to that Bed Bath & Beyond, because that was the closest one to our house, I'd like kind of look at the employees to be like, huh? You recognize her? Like,
I'm surprised you ever went anywhere near that place like, again.
Have you worked here for 20 years?
I avoided that one. Okay, wait, before we get the lady gang on, our amazing producer, Becky, I need you to share your story.
So I've been dating my boyfriend for like 5 months now, and I'm like visiting him in Michigan. And I'm just like, I warned him, I was like, I am sorry, my stomach hurts so bad. Like, it's been a few days already, and like, I can't hold it anymore. And he was like, it's okay. I was like, plug your ears. It was so loud.
You prepped him.
You warned him you were going to fart.
You prepped him. That's fantastic.
Why did you go in the other room?
But he lives in a studio, so I had nowhere to run or hide.
You're like,
So I said, plug your ears. And he heard it still. And he's like, that was so loud. And I was mortified.
But at the same time, how much closer do you guys feel to one another that you got that out of the way?
I'm never farting in front of you till the day I die.
I mean, true story. Because you can tell the first time.
Yeah.
We were in a hotel room, remember?
Yeah, we were in a hotel room.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same thing as you, Becky.
We were dating.
We were trapped, right? Like, what am I going to be like? I'm going to go walk in the halls.
And Jana was doing something. She bent over and it went, and I kind of gave her a look. I was like, what was that?
And they go,
She's like, you didn't hear anything. And then finally I was like, you just farted. She's like, no. And she's like in the corner.
I literally went to a corner.
And like hit her face like a little kid. And was like crying.
I went
crying,
to the bathroom.
Laughing.
I was so embarrassed. Usually when he stays with me, I'm like, go to the living room. I have to fart.
What? Is your boyfriend there with you right now?
He is.
What does he think? What is his name?
DeMario, he felt bad. He was like, I'm sorry for embarrassing you.
Aww.
DeMario.
He's a sweetheart.
Do you love her more?
He can't hear, baby.
Oh, okay.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm like just laughing at the story that she's telling you because it was so funny.
I'm so embarrassed, but he's sweet.
I mean, I can tell.
He says it's a safe space, but I don't feel like it.
That's the thing. You got the girls, DeMario, back me up. The girls make it a bigger deal than it is, right?
100%.
But then why call it out, though? Because every time I like do a little, like he's like, he gives me a look.
Because it's like, still, we've been married for going on 6 years, been together for like almost 7. And you still do that and you kind of give me a look like, you didn't hear that. You didn't hear that. I'm like, you're my wife. Like, I go into the bathroom exactly. after you take a dump. And I'm like, damn, girl. Like, that's life. That's like, amazing. We all do it.
Well, dude, I completely agree with what you're saying.
Thank you.
It's just we just want to at least acknowledge that it was there for you. But it's not that big of a deal at all.
And guess what? We don't give y'all for it because literally we're nice, and then y'all will be like, why'd you have to fart?
Well, no, because no, time out. We're a little bit more, I feel like we're more respectful with it, like knowing that we're not just gonna fart. Like, you will, like, what's the thing called where the sheets and stuff,
you know? Oh, Dutch oven?
Yeah, like, that's not cool. Like, you know, I make sure if I know it's gonna be a stinky one, like, I go to a different room. But, like, men are just like, let it hang.
Well,
do it. I've already done it.
Yeah, I mean, that, exactly. It's such a great relief when you're in a new relationship, especially you guys are only 5 months in. As soon as both of you do it, it's just like, oh, we're good now. Like,
totally.
It's another level. So,
all right. Well, anyway. So everyone listening, guys, just let it fly.
Let it fly. Let it fly. DeMario, Becky, thank you guys. Thanks for sharing. Nice to meet you.
Okay. Lady Gang is in the waiting room. Let's take a break and bring him on in.
We're going to be wearing masks for a while. It's important to have the right mask. Protect yourself and others. The N95 respirators can provide a big upgrade to your current mask. There are fakes and counterfeit versions, so you want to be sure you have the approved version. Secure Components guarantees 100% authenticity. Secure Components is a trusted source and provided support PPE needed for frontline workers, and they are now available to the public. Go to securecomponents.com to order masks for you, your friends, and family, or your business. Securecomponents.com.
Hi.
What's up, ladies?
Hello.
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi. Haven't seen you ladies in years.
4 years, maybe?
Has it been 4?
You've just had your daughter.
Wow.
So 5.
Because you were talking about getting mommy shamed, like, at the grocery store for something.
Yeah, for buying food.
Yes, yes.
How dare you?
How dare I buy canned baby food?
How dare you feed your baby?
I should be hand making that.
Yes.
Congratulations on the book.
Yes, congrats. Oh,
thanks,
bestsellers.
Thank you.
But seriously, congratulations to y'all. Because, I mean, since I've seen you guys have exploded. I love y'all's show on E! I mean, everything that you have going on, I mean, it's insane. It's amazing, though, but you guys deserve it. You guys are energetic. You're fun. You share things that, you know, are hard to share at times. And I appreciate that a lot because you're showing the good and the bad and the hard, you know?
Right back at you. You're doing the same.
I mean, you know how it is.
You know.
You try.
It can be hard.
The ups and the downs, you know.
Uh-huh. That's right. We're all just kind of riding the wave, right? And yeah. I mean, from what you guys are doing, it's amazing that you guys, you know, with all your individual careers and accolades that the three of you have done, you know, how did you kind of give us a backstory and our listeners kind of a backstory of how the Lady Gang formed?
All right, I usually take this one. I'll do it. So Kelty and myself have previous lives as professional dancers. I was on Broadway. She was a Rockette.
Dang.
Yep, she still got that. She's doing that kick,
Kelty.
Still got it.
So this was
stretch.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
So this is
exactly what you'll get when you listen to the Lady Gang. Just a lot of fun.
My God.
Apologies. So we knew each other a million lifetimes ago, and then we both kind of made our way out to LA and would bump into each other at these like weird Hollywood events and look at each other and be like, remember when we were broke and dancing our hearts out for $5 a week and now we're here and this is weird. So then we decided we were so sick of waiting for Hollywood to pick us after every job. We're like, oh my gosh, are they going to choose us? So finally we had this lunch at Cafe 101 in LA, which RIP.
RIP. So, no, it closed?
Yes, yeah. Because the pandemic.
So sad.
It's devastating. And anyways, that was where we had this really sad lunch one day that Kelty brought up the idea of doing a podcast. And 6 years ago, a podcast was like,
foreign
I had
language.
No idea. Yeah, I was like, what is this? Yeah. I was like, you mean like Adam Carolla? What do you mean?
Like a Howard Stern?
Right.
Like, yes, actually, exactly.
So I just followed her lead because Kelty, normally whatever she touches turns to gold. And we knew we needed a third girl who wasn't in the business and who didn't care about the business mm-hmm. and had a lot of street cred as a female entrepreneur and self-made. And then that's when Kelty asked Jack, and the reason they know each other is because they share a mutual ex-boyfriend.
Oh, Kelty, I love that.
Eskimo sisters.
30 seconds for yes. Kelty. Is that what they call it, an Eskimo sister?
Uh-huh. Or yeah, like Eskimo brother, Eskimo sister.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah. But then, so Jack, well, I dated him after Jack, but then recently we found out that Jack went back and made out with him when she thought that we were still together, which is so messed up.
I thought that like when I have this whole thing that I will never go back to an ex. Like I'm very proud about it, that once, you know, the door is closed forever.
Good on
and
you.
Then I finally remembered one day that I did go back and hook up with this ex-boyfriend, and I was almost positive that he cheated on Kelty with me, but we went back and figured out that he didn't, which
oh.
is...
Yeah.
Well, regardless, look at you guys now.
So, look at us. Yeah. Live another day.
Yeah.
Another day.
So the bond is still there.
And Kelty, yeah. you just renewed your vows, right?
Yes. Did you guys renew your vows?
We did, which I feel like we need to redo them again.
we're in a new trend of marriage. We're just like, you know, we just keep renewing vows.
Renew them again.
Everyone needs to renew after this pandemic.
Yes. Yeah, if you made it out alive, then yeah, I agree with that.
1,000.
I know that Seal and Heidi Klum didn't make it eventually, but you remember how they used to have like a huge vow renewal every single year?
Yeah.
Like, because she loves to throw a party. So she's like, basically, how can I wear a fabulous dress? And I'm not like winning an Oscar. So like, what is this for me? And she would throw this vow renewal. Yeah. Chris and I renewed our vows last year. And it was, we had been together 10 years, 7 years married. And we had like a couple rough years as they happen, and had really not been focused on our relationship at all. And it was really sweet. I being an outward facing introvert, I feel a lot of pressure to perform when I'm around people, as you can tell already on this podcast. But in my real life, I'm actually like quite quiet. And so the whole like wedding situation of like saying your vows and having this moment in front of all these people, I felt like I was like performing in the school play for like my future in-laws. So it was nice to just, we went on a beach and like just, it was just us, and we just said read our to each other. And it was like a great renewal, and I've only like really wanted to run and hate him like 5 times since. So great.
Down from the 15 prior. So we're
down
good.
From a 15, yeah. You know?
And by the way, anyone that knows, like, it's so normal to, you know, be like, this, I don't like you a lot of days. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't like myself. And it's okay to have those, especially, gosh, the last, you know, 2020 and everything. But in those years that you were having tough times, was it for you, were you like, I don't even want to be in this marriage anymore?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that anyone that lies and says that never happens to them is like a big fat liar. Mm-hmm. For me, Chris, my husband had his boss had passed away really unexpectedly. And he's very tied to his work. He's a very loyal person. And so he kind of lost himself for a whole year. He was like just floating around. And I'm very attracted to the like boss, like man that is like taking care of and making important phone calls. And like, he didn't have that. He was just kind of like, I mean, he was working, but he was floating around, and he just didn't have that drive or passion. And that's one of like the things that I love about him. So I found him like a little bit unsexy, to be honest with you. And at that time in my career, I was like the busiest I'd ever been. And so it was like this perfect storm of things. And sometimes when you're, I don't know how you feel about this, Jenna, but like when you're the woman in a relationship that's acting like the man to like support the man, sometimes that can be kind of draining on like the sexiness of it all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're kind of in the control seat, keeping it all together. I'm like, I don't want to keep it together. I want someone else to keep it together for me, you know?
1,000%.
So that was hard.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
There is a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode exactly about this, Kelty. It's when Cheryl is only attracted to Larry when he's working on Seinfeld.
So good.
He's a big Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of dude.
Are you serious?
Oh my God. I watch it every night when I go to sleep. I have to hear Larry David screaming at me. It really like lulls me to sleep like a little lullaby.
It's the best. And I was late to the game on season 10. So I just watched season 10 like 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God.
And it might be one of the best.
And they're filming a new one. So you're going to get new.
It's so good. You know, it's interesting that Kelty was saying it's, because that's a lot of our relationship, right? Is like the role reversal in certain things and trying to find that identity and stuff. And I mean, I know for the guy that takes some getting used to, you know, kind of falling into a different role than maybe society has for you or that you even want for yourself, especially, at least for me personally, coming from the background that I have, used to being the one making money or being busy and then now not. Do you find that?
Not sexy?
Yeah, unsexy.
Kelty, damn you. It's forgotten.
Yeah,
even though you guys are guests, well, not to make it about us.
But. Here's the thing, though. I will say, my dad always says you can't have it all at the same time.
Yeah.
So, like, we're in the era of you where you're working on your career and you're the hottest thing and you have so many avenues going on. You can't also be having your career at this moment. Like, it's got to be, you can't have it all.
Yeah. I think to answer your question, though, I don't find you unsexy. What I find unsexy is when, you know, you'll go play video games or, you know, you don't manage your time. So I'm like, I'm working my ass off.
I hear that. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, there's so many things that could be done around the house, around here. And I'm like, help me pick up the slack. Like, that's where I'm like, if there's any, you know, like your laziness sometimes can make you unattractive.
Well, it's the lack of the drive at the moment.
There you go.
Like, if you're, you know, if you're working on something or you're passionate and like you're trying to make steps forward to something. My boyfriend loves video games too, but we have this thing where he can only, well, no, he's playing them right now. Never mind. I was going to say he can only play them after I go to bed.
Well, and I'm curious what I was going to ask you that, Jack, because, you know, for us, I'm like, we've got to, and he, and I will say Mike does a good balance where it's, you know, hey, I'm going to take a few hours for myself. Now it's when the kids are napping or we'll have, you know, we kind of plan out our week. It's like, okay, this night we're going to have intentional night. This night we're going to play games. And then the next night he gets his own time. He gets to do whatever he wants. And if that's video games, then that's how he spends it. And I'm like, you know, working or doing something or, you know, watching the but again, that's
Watching The Bachelor.
I know. I'm like, then I can't judge what he's doing in his time. And that's been, I think, the hardest thing for me is to not judge what he wants to do in his time, because what I value in my time is so different.
Yeah.
We actually had, my boyfriend and I had this exact same conversation about like the video games thing. And it's like the amount of hours that I waste watching trashy reality TV. It's like, that's just how we decompress, you know, women versus men. Men love playing Call of Duty or whatever the hell they're playing. And then women love watching 10 hours of Married at First Sight.
And that's kind of my thing where there's a stigma around, not to make it about video games, but there's a stigma where it just comes across as childish, right? Because you think that's a little kid's thing, a little boy, like you're a man now, you're in your 30s or 40s, whatever, grow up. But it's, again, if I was just sitting there, it's funny because if I was just sitting there watching TV or watching a movie, Jana would probably have no feelings about it.
Right.
But if I'm playing video games, you could be doing this, you could be doing that, you could be doing whatever, just because it's that one thing. But
it is shocking how many men play video games. Like pretty much every man loves video games. So it's funny to look at it in your own relationship being like, oh, it's like for 10-year-olds. And then you look at any other guy in the world and they're all playing it together.
But also, I would much rather have my husband be playing video games than like scrolling Instagram.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know men who scroll Instagram more than women. And I know this is like a weird double standard, but I don't understand. Women are picking out style inspiration, home decor, makeup, skincare. We have a whole world to opened up to us. But what are men scrolling and looking at on Instagram besides Barstool Sports
and butts
and women in thongs?
Very good point.
No, yeah, that is a very good point.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
It's like, what would you rather us be doing?
Yeah,
but let me.
Call of Duty it is, Mike.
Yeah. Anytime you want. Yeah.
Thank
or
at least
you, ladies.
You're not out like at the bar trying to hit on other girls. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot worse things to do than than playing video games.
There's worse things, but as long as it's just that, then it's good.
You gotta help me bury his body if that happened.
Yeah. let me turn it back to y'all in a second. So, or right now, in with the relationship, and that being said, right, with the three of you having your own kind of career paths and things that you do, and then having all these projects with the show, with the podcast, with the book that, you know, Act Like a Woman that I want to dive into, how do you guys kind of help manage each other's time, right? Because it's the three of you collaborating on these things. So is there any of that in y'all's relationship where it's like, hey, Jack, why don't you do this? Or hey, Kelty, or hey, Becca, why aren't you working on this? Like, come on, we got to do that.
Kelty?
Kelty's the boss.
Yes.
And every Monday I wake up to an email from this lovely app we're using called Asana. And it says, Kelty has assigned 4 tasks to you.
Oh my God, I love this app. What is it called?
No, because now, great. Asana, thanks, Becca. I'm going to wake up every damn morning.
Sorry.
Jana has assigned to you.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to a lot of like Grow Your Business podcasts, to be honest, and doing like a lot of listening to female panelists at Create and Cultivate and Vanity Fair and stuff. And so these are some of the tips that I've found out. But yeah, there's this app called Asana, and basically we have a couple employees for Lady Gang, and when something needs to be done, or we talk about something in a meeting, we're like, let's add it to the Asana, so that like Jack, instead of me calling Jack every morning and being like, hey, where's the graphics for the new merch? It's just on her thing. And every morning I have it set up that it emails them at 8 a.m. with like what is still outstanding. And it has like,
I never read those emails though, is the problem.
Oh, no. I just Jack doesn't read her email. She's like, there's two kinds of people. There's me who like has zero new emails in her email. And there's Jack who's like 30,000. So like getting Jack on email is also very difficult. But you know, listen, it's been like it's a marriage of sorts, to be honest. Like it's a trial and error. And I think the most important thing with us is that we don't give up on each other. And we're sort of brutally honest in that same way that you have to be with your partner. And sometimes it absolutely sucks. It sucks to hear. It sucks to have to be the person to like have the conversation when that's needed. But it's always for the greater good. And I think we're all so determined, and we have such a special thing that we've created that it's like, well, you know, are we going to let this thing be the thing that ruins us? It's like after 5 years, you've invested all this time and energy and you made it mostly work. Like, let's just keep going, you know?
And we're really good at communicating with each other. We always have been. We've never had to have like a conversation where it's like, okay, you know, we need to talk about things. Like we've all just been very open about everything, and we all have our specific strengths. So we know when to stay in our own lane, and we know when it's like a Jack thing or a Becca thing or a Kelty thing. Yeah. And we don't really step on each other's toes unless Kelty is like trying to get me on a deadline or something like that. But she also knows how I work. Like I'm a creative. I work in my own time when I'm going to do things, and I will usually make a deadline, but I'm going to do it at the 11th hour. So
super relaxing. It's super relaxing for everyone involved.
Super not stressful at all for everyone involved in the company. When I'm like, hey, you know what? This is due. We have to get it to the manufacturer for the clothing line. The whole thing has to be turned in by Friday morning. Are we good on that? Yes. And then on Thursday, I'm like, hey, Jack, how's it going? And she's like, oh yeah, I'm just starting to work on that. I'm like,
but I always get it in. But it's
preach. Jack, I love it because that's exactly how I am. And look, bottom of the ninth, two outs. Who do you want to bat? You want me or Jack? Because we're going to get that done. We're going to deliver. Because when we wrote our book, Jana was the same way. She had like a six-month calendar. Okay, on this day you're going to write this. On this day you're going to write this. This day you're going to write this. I was like, uh-uh. And now I tried doing it.
Sure.
I was like, we're creating. I was like, I'm trying
to. The last 2 months.
Wait, Mike, are you a Pisces?
I am.
He is.
That is the number one thing about Pisces, especially men. Because it's a water sign. They are floating in outer space. Good luck ever getting him to meet a deadline. That
oh my
is just
gosh, really?
Is to his core. Yes.
Because I don't know much. I haven't looked much into Pisces, but that's okay. That,
nailed it.
What is your sign?
I'm a Sag.
Okay. That's, yeah. It's like, it's a tough combo. But you have to embrace.
Y'all are screwed.
No, you're not screwed. Wow. I had an old business partner who he was a Pisces, and he was so creative. He was probably the most talented person I've ever worked with. However, he could not meet a deadline. And I just, as soon as I embraced that and just knew that that was who he was, I was okay.
Yeah.
It was just expectations and managing them.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, and I'm sure it's hard to raise children with someone who's floating in outer spicy space.
Well, yeah, and that's that is very hard, because sometimes he'll just disappear and I'm like, where did you go? Like,
they live on another planet where different reality. They are living in a different reality.
Okay, it makes so much sense now.
That's why my therapist always calls it Mike's world. Like, hey, you're in Mike's world again. Oh, okay.
Becca, thank you for sharing the miscarriages. I know it's hard. We've had five. Understand it's, you know, we've done IVF as well. And I just want to say thank you for sharing your story, because the more people talk about it, the less it hurts. I mean, it's still going to hurt, right? It's awful. It's terrible. But just to know that, like, you're not alone, that I'm not alone, that other people aren't alone. I'm sorry that you're going through that right now.
Thank you.
Where are you right now with the IVF process?
So we froze embryos in the spring, and then I got this job to shoot in Vancouver for 6 months. So we kind of felt like it was the perfect sign from the universe to just take a rest, take a beat, because there's nothing we can be doing here. You know, our embryos are in LA.
Are you in Vancouver?
Yeah.
So are we.
You are?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, let's hang.
Yes. We're my husband's here too. He's going to be very excited.
But they can play games together.
Great. Great.
He brought his system here to Vancouver.
Do you golf?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
We'll connect.
Match made in heaven.
How long are you here?
We're here for 6 weeks.
Till March like 14th.
Oh my gosh.
Which part of Vancouver are you in?
Like Yale Town, downtown.
Oh, you're situation. Like the cool part.
Where
of
are you guys?
We're in Langley. We're in like family hood.
We're in the suburbs.
Oh yeah. It's cute there. It's where my microblading girl is. If you need a dope microbladed eyebrows.
Okay.
She's the best.
Okay, she's that's like, awesome.
I'm good. Have you seen me? I'm beautiful.
No, no. Perfect. I actually just got mine done, or I would take you up on that.
There you go.
But no, okay, let's get numbers after this. But okay, so you're going to hold off on that. Have you, is this your first round of IVF or?
Yes, so we round? Did, yeah, we did one round of retrieval. And so then we got all of our embryos that are frozen. I just paid for storage yesterday. Mm-hmm. Thank you, technology.
Right, paying rent on your unborn child.
Isn't it crazy?
It's so nuts. It's
so nuts. Yeah, so I did that one round. And then we, like I said, it was sort of, I think, meant to be where our embryos are down in San Diego and we're in Canada. The border's closed. There's no going back and forth. And there was no... there was no doing a transfer before coming here because I would have been showing too much mm-hmm. for this job that I'm doing because it's like a longer, it's a series.
Oh, awesome. Congrats.
But it's, thank you. But it's so crazy that you think you're just going to spontaneously just get pregnant and have a baby. And then you're like, oh, wait, I'm literally scheduling it like it's a dentist appointment now. It's just so nuts. I'm so happy that that is what's available to us. And I think that the reason I came out with and I was so open about the experience was because I am quite angry with the medical institution in general and how there's no conversations very rarely with women in their late 20s and early 30s to consider taking a simple blood test to see what their hormones are looking like and mm-hmm. what their egg supply looks like. So I was kind of pissed off that we've all been going to see an OBGYN since we've gotten our periods. And there's very rarely intervention when it comes to fertility. So since then, I'm happy to report that so many women have reached out and have either frozen their eggs or frozen embryos or even just taken a simple blood test mm-hmm. that they've had to ask for at their gyno. So it's become like this weird mission that I never thought I would have, but it feels like the most gratifying thing we've done like thus far in the Lady Gang.
You know, it's such a great point because it's like until you are actually trying to have a child, you don't realize how hard it is, right? Because it's a miracle that happens hundreds of times every single day. Mm-hmm. But until you really want it and realize how difficult it can be for a lot of people who truly want a kid, it's unbelievably, you know, difficult at times. And mm-hmm. on the IVF journey, I'm curious, Becca, if you guys aren't there yet, but when you, you know, basically create the embryos, you have your eggs frozen. When you create the embryos, the one part of that process that just me personally and my own kind of belief system I had a hard time with was when they would say, okay, we can either basically take a singular sperm and inject it into the embryo or into the egg, or you kind of take a you know, millions of sperm and throw them in like a basically a petri dish and let nature take its course. Mm-hmm. And I know for some people you have to inject the sperm directly into the egg to make it work. Mm-hmm. But for me, just when we were going through it, I had a hard time because that's the only part of it that felt like you were playing God.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm like, let the best sperm win. Like whatever sperm is supposed to win that God is intending for you to have that child, let that happen. Again, not everyone is able to have that. Sometimes you have to inject it, but that's just the one thing I know for me personally that came up that I had a hard time with.
Yeah, I get that because the whole thing is just so, it is pretty crazy. I mean, the reason I had to do it in general was because my egg quality. So that, and yeah, as you get older, that's just the reality mm-hmm. of it. So that kind of feels, that felt crazy too, because you're selecting the best eggs and then you can actually find out the sex and then choose that. I mean, we said, because it did feel too much like playing God, we were like, we are only going to do up to the point in which we get a successful, healthy embryo made, right. But we're not going to select the gender. We're simply going to say whatever looks the strongest or healthiest, okay. But it is really insane. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy, the whole process.
Well, I'm excited for you though, because thank I know you. It's, it's tough, but it sounds like you have an awesome husband that is very supportive.
Yes, and he was just great with those shots.
Oh yeah, I made Mike do him. I was like, I'm not.
Yeah, she made me take a shot in my ass without anything in it, a progesterone. She's just like, no, if you're gonna do it to me, I'm gonna do it to you. I'm like, what the fuck?
You gotta know what, except you can't feel the one in your butt. Less.
That's what I didn't realize. Even though the needles were bigger, the butt shots were way better than the stomach.
Oh, really? See, I couldn't even sit with the progesterone shots. It was like a big ball. I hated the progesterone shots.
Terrible.
Anyways, you guys, I mean, you have a million things going on. So can we just tell everyone where we can get everything?
And the book.
And the book and the clothes and the podcast. Tell me all.
So we're at The Lady Gang on Instagram. That's the easiest. The podcast comes out every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. And the book is available anywhere you get books, Target.com, Amazon.com, your local indie bookseller, Act Like a Lady. It's our New York Times bestseller. So we joined the club.
Congrats.
Your book came out like 4 weeks before ours. And I was like, there's hope. If they can do it, maybe we can do it.
Yes.
Like, you're amazing and incredible, but you're not Michelle Obama. And I was like, okay, there's like, you know, there's space for just these fandoms to come.
Yeah,
you're a part of so many different fandoms, so it's like amazing for you.
No, I hear you on that, because I was like, Mike, because he was like, that's my goal, and I was like, honey, you gotta set
your goals
I was shooting
for the stars,
a little lower, babe. I was just like,
oh my god,
you know. But I'm so happy for you guys. I love you guys.
Thank you, Becca. I'll see you in
like a few days.
Sounds great. Can't wait.
Thanks guys so much. I appreciate you
ladies. Thank you so much for your time.
I just love those girls so much.
You know, going into it, I even asked you, I was like, have we not interviewed them yet? Because I just hear so much about them. And
I mean, they were like the first podcast people ever, I feel like.
Yeah, they're definitely some of the OGs, but I have seen so much of them, heard so much of them. Mm-hmm. It was great to put, you know, voices and faces and personalities all together. But what a great group of women and you know, just awesome. Awesome people.
No, she's got a wiggly tooth.
Oh.
What do you mean, no? This is good. That's
a good
thing.
I'm gonna cry. It's her first tooth.
Is it her first tooth? Oh. Are you gonna keep it?
The tooth fairy. It like genuinely makes me sad. It's her first tooth.
I don't know why I'm crying too. Riley. I swear.
Our daughter has a wiggly tooth and I'm crying. Oh.
How exciting.
How wiggly is it?
It's wiggly.
I'm not pulling it out. Because
I'll pull the sucker out.
It gives me PTSD from my childhood. My dad, he no joke, put a string around my tooth and opened a door.
Mm-hmm. Or you closed the door.
You closed the door.
Yeah.
How are we going to do it? Oh my God.
I'm going to get a string, tie it to your tooth.
I can't.
The other side, I'll tie to a football. And I'll throw the football. And it goes, dunk.
What did you do, Mark?
We let it take its course. It just came out. We didn't do any of the fancy doorknob football techniques.
How much does the tooth fairy cost?
I think inflation, man. Kids nowadays are asking for dollars.
For the tooth fairy?
Yeah, this tooth fairy ain't giving dollars.
Well, I don't think Jolie really knows what a dollar is anyways.
We give her a Hershey kiss.
Hershey kiss. No, we'll get her something like a little unicorn toy or something.
No, you can't do little toy. It's got to be consistent. So we'll do like a quarter.
A quarter?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Wait, the tooth fairy has to do something consistent?
It can't be like every time. Oh, you get this. Oh, there's an Xbox under my pillow.
What did you do, Mark?
We did $5 and a Reese's peanut butter cup, which is kind of silly because that just encourages more tooth loss. But it was consistent. And it was competitive, because you got to keep that in mind, too. Because if their friends are making more money than she is per tooth, that's going to bother her and make her question the tooth fairy's motivations.
Well, they can write a letter to the tooth fairy. Ask her for a raise. Hey, tooth fairy, I'm really losing a lot of teeth and making you work. So I need a raise in my reward.
You know what, guys? I am a little emotional, so I think I got to end it. I think I need to go give myself a good cry that I got a 5-year-old. Hey.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm turning Canadian up here, hey?
Between your Michigan and the Canadian influence, you're really getting it.
All right. Y'all are a beauty. Have a good one.
Later.